God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series through the theme of the book of Daniel. And tonight, on this Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we pick up Daniel chapter 7. And as we look at this chapter, I will admit there are going to be many images that are a little perplexing. We talk about beasts. We talk about horns. We talk about the Ancient of Days. But let me begin, first of all, with the concept of a mystery. Mystery in English usually refers to a secret which people have to try to uncover. And they sometimes may fail to understand. However, in the New Testament Greek, that word mystery has a little bit of a different nuance. It means, sort of translating the phrase, to be that which was not known before, with the implication that it is now being revealed. Daniel chapter 7 needs to be understood with that latter definition of the Greek word for mystery. Hence the title of today's message is being the stewards of the mysteries. It's not that we are giving out things that are unknown. It's not that we are giving out things that you have to search and find. We give out Christ and him crucified. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. These mysteries of God are not hidden, but they are revealed through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being made known by the Holy Spirit. So as we look for a moment at the book of Daniel, chapter 7, to help us understand the verbiage, we have to ask ourselves, where is Christ and what is Christ doing for us? Some notes of Daniel chapter 7 of particular highlight. In verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. Jesus uses this phrase to describe himself as the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days. By today's society, that phrase may not be very flattering. Who wants to be known among us? Hey, I'm really the oldest one around. But for God the Father, who is of eternity, the Ancient of Days might be an appropriate description. And verse 14, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Very often, I mean, this describes the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, does it not? A kingdom of eternity. A kingdom in which he has all authority and power. A kingdom that will not pass away. These themes are repeated in the New Testament about the Son of Man and his kingdom. But then, our mind may quickly go back to the beasts. It may go back to the book of Revelation and thinking about the beasts and the Antichrist and that horn and the little horn. And we might be filled with anxiety. Even Daniel, at the end of our text, picks up this anxiety. These strange words of Scripture are explained and revealed. As we note that the Son of Man, who has all power, all authority, all dominion, is Jesus. And he defeats the beast, that is the devil. We know this to be prophetic, as our Lord and Savior eventually, at least from Daniel's point of view, will die on the cross. His death gives us the victory over sin, death, and the devil. So humanity is saved. And then we can be reunited with the Creator, God Almighty, the Ancient of Days. For a more detailed explanation of this, you're going to have to wait until we cover it in Bible class sometime soon. But for now, we take a look at Daniel chapter 7, and with this simple explanation, revealing who Christ is and what Christ has done for us, we might sit there and say, then what's the big deal about it? Except for our human nature is driven toward something. You see, we'd like to know, who is that beast? It's nice to know and see our Savior, but within us is there curiosity. Who could that beast be? Could it not be the Antichrist? And who could be the current Antichrist? Please note that the words of Daniel chapter 7 were not designed to create fear for the purpose of selling books or making movies, but just the opposite. Daniel chapter 7 is a book of comfort. A comfort that we have a God who delivers us from fear and frees us so that we may live. The Savior is revealed, the great mystery. What was once hidden is now being made known. Please note that the Scripture does not give us any inkling on who the current bad guy is. Why? The bad guy and fear of the bad guy creates that anxiety. And when that anxiety comes and that fear dwells within us, we all of a sudden start pulling in the resources. And we start being very, very selfish because fear creeps in. We don't want to give things away. This is not what God intended. Fear and anxiety, fair enough, are very powerful emotions. So powerful that we might even forget to live and enjoy what God has blessed us with and to be a blessing for others. But as this fear and anxiety are released, or defeated, so to speak, we are now free to live in Christ Jesus. Free to love, free to give, no longer being driven by fear, selfish words and ideas, nor anxiety of this world. Now the connecting point to Maundy Thursday. On Maundy Thursday, we hear of our Savior Jesus the Christ before his betrayal. We see that he is perplexed in one essence. He knows he's going to be dying. But in doing so, he offers a last meal because he knows what's going on in the disciples' minds or what will happen in the disciples' minds. He knows that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the betrayer comes with the guards, there will be a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And so our Lord gives to his disciples two commands. One, to love one another as he has loved us, and to do this in remembrance of me. This do this in remembrance of me we celebrate as the Lord's Supper. And what is revealed in the Lord's Supper? But Christ himself. In one essence, you could say he turns himself inside out to us. What has been hidden from the foundations of the world, from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first sinned, is now being made known. The promise of a Savior. And more than just a Savior. A Savior who gives of himself so that you, me, and the whole world will live. He gives of himself in this bread and wine. Talk about being open. Talk about being loving. No selfishness, just that of being the giver. What was hidden now is revealed. Hence the mystery for the night. Maundy, Thursday, that meaning command. Yes, those two commands. How can we love one another if we still live in fear? How can we love one another if anxiety still has mastery over us? How can we love one another apart from the other command? Do this in remembrance of me. We need to be freed from our fear, our anxiety, free to live, free to love. The second command gives us power to do the first command. It is the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, in which we speak of as we gather together for a particular purpose, seeking out Christ's body and blood to be enriched, to be freed from fear and anxiety so that we may live and love other people. This is the place, as we come and we gather, where many people with many differences, and these differences usually are things that separate us, are now removed. And we come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come together in Christ Jesus to share this meal of Christ himself. Not just among us, but among all of Christendom throughout time and eternity. Christians in the past, Christians in the present, Christians in the future. How is this possible? It is revealed through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this meal gives us a little bit of a clue of what heaven will be like when we are in eternity forever, in the heavenly banquet forever, when Christ together brings all believers throughout all the world, past, present, across the many language barriers, across the many other barriers that are created by fear and anxiety that are now dividing us, Christ breaks through with his own body and blood so that we may be one in Christ Jesus. This is all possible because of Christ's death upon the cross, defeating the devil, sin, and death, defeating the great horn that Daniel chapter 7 points to. This is also the basis of the song that we sometimes sing in one of our liturgies, written by the sainted Dr. Richard Hillert, when he wrote, "This is the feast of victory for our God." Referring to that victory, referring to that supper, here is the feast of victory in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist. Sure, we might say not much of a physical feast per se, but definitely of a spiritual one. One that connects us with our Savior, one that connects us to our Creator, one that connects us and keeps us with Christ forever. But in this meal, it gives us a picture of what will finally take place in heaven above. Until that time, we rejoice and we gather and we receive from our Lord that strength that breaks down the barriers of fear and anxiety as Christ gives of his own body and blood. And in this Holy Communion, we have the victory of Christ as we still struggle for yet a period of time with sin in this world. Sin that creates the fear of selfishness and anxiety. Sin that divides instead of unites. Sin that doesn't want us to be part of the victory of Christ. So we need our Savior to come, to reattach us to Him. And He did come and defeat sin, death, and the devil. More about that tomorrow night. But tonight, we celebrate the victory. Tonight, because He has completed the victory for us, He now gives us that command to love one another. And that command should now be second nature to us. And so He gives us and strengthens us His own body and blood so that we can do that first command to love one another. So here, as we celebrate Holy Thursday, we gather for this feast of victory in bread and wine. So as we uncover the elements, we get to taste and see that the Lord is good. And as we celebrate the mysteries of Christ, we celebrate it that the mystery has been revealed for you, for me, for all people of the world. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.